702, The World View
with Adam Gilchrist.
What's happening elsewhere on the planet? Adam Gilchrist, always a pleasure to chat to you. Let's talk about Russia, right? Three warnings now from the European Union, from the White House and the Czech Republic.
Hi, Bongani. Yeah, of course, what difference the warnings make is another matter. But interesting, the European Union ministers had a big meeting in Brussels, and although a lot of it was virtual, but still, they came up with a kind of united message. Please don't invade Ukraine. I don't know if that ever works. Has that ever worked in history? Don't invade.
To an aggressor? And then
yeah, exactly. It worked with Hitler, didn't it? Russia, with its military buildup at the borders, we know that there's been intense over the past couple of months, and Europe is certainly getting worried. The White House has warned Russia to safeguard the health of Alexei Navalny. They didn't quite say "or else," but pretty much. The White House spokesman Joe Psaki talking about essentially how much rides on whether Alexei Navalny lives or dies. We know that he's now in a medical facility. He's in bad way because of three things: terrible prison conditions, a hunger strike, and the lingering effects of Novichok. Put that together and you got a poorly bloke. And in the Czech Republic, they're warning Russia essentially not to carry out acts of terrorism. They put two and two together on an explosion at an arms depot, happened 6 years ago or so, and they now say that they have evidence it was Russian military intelligence, the GRU, that carried out this explosion. Two people died in it. And the trail of evidence, they say, has led them to two Russian agents who are thought to be the same two behind the Salisbury poisonings in England. Do you know, once upon a time, it was all cloak and dagger. Wasn't it better when somehow it was all cloak and dagger and we'll meet in the cafe in Berlin rather than all this raw, naked aggression out in the open? I'm not sure it suits anyone, really.
Peace in our times, right? Peace in our times. Remember that phrase. You and I were talking just, was it yesterday, about India's COVID numbers. I mean, they're really quite extraordinary.
Yeah, and the stories coming out now and the pictures coming out and the tales related are just awful. And of course, they resonate with all of us because of what we've seen in our own countries. But yeah, Delhi is now back into a week-long lockdown. I'd be surprised if it's only a week. They've had a record spike of cases in the Indian capital, the way India is, because it's so vast. Of course, they tend to deal with things on a state-by-state or city-by-city basis. But Delhi's run out of hospital beds and oxygen. In Uttar Pradesh, which is the most populated Indian state, hospitals are turning patients away. There are cases of people with severe COVID turning up at one place, being moved on, and then another, and then another, and then another. Funeral pyres are said to be burning 24/7. We know that there are over 200,000 cases a day. Just yesterday, there were 1,600 deaths reported. And, of course, again, India being big and a lot of it rural, some of those deaths take some time to filter through. It may well be well more than 1,600 deaths. And India has now announced a response, I suppose, in some ways, that they want all adults over the age of 18 to be offered a vaccine. And they want it now. There are two problems with this. They don't have the supplies. Nobody has the vaccine supplies to vaccinate a billion people. And also, there's apart from being a shortage of vaccine, the distribution of it is, again, an absolute logistical nightmare. So India is really up against it right now.
Indeed. One, of course, of the topics we touched on yesterday was this proposed European Super League. I was looking at my Twitter feed yesterday, and it was probably the number one trending issue that I could pick up. Lots of reaction to it, and most of it negative.
Yeah, I think I worked with somebody yesterday who I think is the only person I've met who doesn't have an opinion on it, or the only person I've heard who doesn't have an opinion on it. She says, I don't do football, she said. But this kind of permeates through, because now you've got Boris Johnson, Prince William, Emmanuel Macron, you name it. They're talking about this, and in 99.99% of cases vehemently opposed to it, because the main thing here is the Super League. And this is what, of course, the owners don't get, because they see it as a money-making project, a protective thing. You know, if you're looking after Real Madrid, you want to make sure Real Madrid perseveres, etc. It's the pyramid, the competition element, where you can rise to the top as a lowly club, you can also fall from the top should things go awry.
Yeah.
Manchester City know this only too well. They've been, you know, it wasn't very long ago, they were way down there. But the owner, of course, wants to make sure that never happens again. In sport, it doesn't work like that. So the one banner I think that sums this up, I mean, unfortunately, it probably sums up a lot in life, but we won't get too depressed about it. This banner that appeared outside Old Trafford that said football, created by the poor, stolen by the rich.
Maybe that's the one thing the whole world can agree on. I wonder if people are just going to simply vote with their eyeballs, as it were, and not watch these games. And maybe that will get the message across. Adam Gilchrist, this morning's Worldview.